This is Vision for Christ World, Toledo, Ohio, USA. My name is Tim Taylor. If you are not a Christian, let me ask you this. Why do Christians gather with other Christians, often at a church building? Several non-Christians I have heard from answer that the Christians all get together to pat each other on the back, congratulating each other for being a goody-goody, that is, highly moral in their behavior in their daily lives, and acting in a holy manner and attitude. Holier than thou or sanctimonious are other less than respectful terms some non-Christians have for Christians. Other non-Christians have said the Christians go to church because they are required to go to church in order to gain entrance to heaven when they die. Today on the broadcast, my focus is to correct these incorrect views on Christian fellowship and going to church. The short answer is Christians truly love God out of heartfelt gratitude for what He has done for them. We love each other because we are bonded together in love by the Holy Spirit of God. Well, let me begin today with a brief word of prayer. Father God, let me show everyone who you really are and reveal your only Son, Jesus Christ, to those who are listening. Praying in Jesus' name, amen. Let me begin today by noting that some source material for this program was derived from material at gotquestions.org. Our Vision for Christ broadcast began as a shortwave broadcast from a Florida radio facility to sub-Saharan Africa. This is still our primary audience. We have since expanded to Asia and Europe on AM medium wave radio, FM local area radio, as well as on shortwave radio. You may contact us through our website at www.visionforchristworld.com. Just click on Contact at the top of the main page. Our website address again, www.visionforchristworld.com. Search our Facebook page as Vision for Christ World. In practically the whole world now, we are facing the isolation imposed by government restrictions on public gatherings due to the coronavirus, also known as COVID-19. Many, or even most of us, are told to stay at home, away from others, to prevent the spread of this virus that has killed so many people worldwide. In some areas, people are prevented from gathering for home Bible studies with other Christian families or attending church services in a church building. If you are not a Christian, you might think, who cares if you cannot go to church? Use your Sundays for something else, for recreation, hobbies, or relaxation. But people in general are social in nature and need to be with others in some kind of gathering or group setting. In many areas, indoor dining in restaurants are closed off, and Christians do not go to bars, pubs, or taverns. Even before the COVID-19 virus struck us, Christians naturally want to be in church, and not only for fellowship, but to worship and honor God. Romans 12:4-6 explains this aspect of fellowship. For just as in one body we have many members, and not all the members serve the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members who belong to one another, and we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. Then a few verses later in Romans 12, I read this, "Love must be without hypocrisy. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another with mutual love, showing eagerness in honoring one another. Do not lag in zeal. Be enthusiastic in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Endure in suffering. Persist in prayer. Contribute to the needs of fellow believers. Pursue hospitality." 1 John 1:7 says this, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Also in 1 John chapter 1, we read, "What we have seen and heard we announce to you too, so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." When the first Christians met together in ancient times, there were no church buildings to go to for worship and fellowship. Acts chapter 2, verses 46 and 47 explains how the pattern for fellowship began historically. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. No true born-again saved Christian is ever forced to go to church. We need the encouragement of others who also know what it means to have our sins forgiven by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. We need to share our life with others of similar faith. For me personally, I am meeting with other Christians on Wednesdays and Sundays and twice a month on Saturdays also for an in-depth Bible study with a small group of Christian men. I can tell you most sincerely, I need these times of gathering together with other Christians. No one compels me to meet. I long to meet with my fellow Christians. I need what they share with me from their faith with God, and they need what I share too. The mutual love is essential for Christians. Now, it is not as though I do not like non-Christians, because I do. We all meet casually in everyday life with people of various faiths, as well as atheists who claim no faith at all. I make this broadcast every week in the hopes that my non-Christian listeners may want God and His only Son, Jesus Christ, and may, with the aid and power of God, repent and turn their lives over to God in saving faith. I love and pray for non-Christians, right along with my fellow believers that I get to meet with often. In order to understand the importance of Christian fellowship, we must first understand what Christian fellowship is and what it is not. The Greek words translated fellowship in the New Testament mean essentially a partnership to the mutual benefit of those involved. Christian fellowship, then, is the mutually beneficial relationship between Christians who cannot have the identical relationship with those outside of the faith. The importance of true Christian fellowship is that it reinforces these things in our mind and helps us to focus on Christ and His desires and goals for us. As iron sharpens iron, in true Christian fellowship, Christians sharpen our faith and stir one another to exercise that faith in love and good works, all to the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 1:20 explains more about Christians giving glory and praise to God. For all of the promises of God have been fulfilled in Christ with a loud and strong yes. And through Christ, our Amen, which means yes, goes up to God for His glory. Acts 2:42 could be considered a purpose statement for the church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. According to this verse, the purposes or activities of the church should be 1. Teaching biblical doctrine, 2. Providing a place for fellowship for believers, 3. Observing the Lord's Supper, and 4. Praying. The church is to teach biblical doctrine so we can be grounded in our faith. Ephesians 4:14 tells us, "Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming." The church is to be a place of fellowship where Christians can be devoted to one another and honor one another, Romans 12:10, where they can instruct one another, Romans 15:14, be kind and compassionate to one another, Ephesians 4:32, encourage one another, 1 Thessalonians 5:11, and most importantly, love one another. In the Bible book of 1 John chapter 3, we read this: "See what sort of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and indeed we are. For this reason the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Dear friends, we are the children of God now, and what we will be has not yet been revealed. We know that whenever it is revealed, we will be like Him, that is Jesus, because we will see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope focused on Him purifies himself, just as Jesus is pure." The church, then, is to be a place where believers can observe the Lord's Supper, also called communion, remembering the death of Jesus Christ and his shed blood on our behalf. That's in 1 Corinthians 11. The concept of breaking bread also carries the idea of having meals together. I have the joy of sharing a meal every Wednesday evening at my Christian fellowship meeting. Actually, the very name of the church I attend is called Christian Fellowship Church. That is how much the founders of our group value being together for fellowship so that we can serve the needs of each other. Another purpose of the church, according to Acts 2:42, is prayer. The church is to be a place that promotes prayer, teaches prayer, and practices prayer. Philippians 4:6 and 7 encourages us, "Do not be anxious about anything. Instead, in every situation, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, tell your requests to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Also, the church is to publicly tell of the gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ, such as Jesus said in Matthew 28, Acts chapter 1 tells of the appearance of the risen Lord Jesus, now risen from the dead. Here is how the Bible reads in Acts 1. "So when the believers had gathered together, they began to ask Jesus, 'Lord, is this the time when you are restoring the kingdom to Israel?' He told them, 'You are not permitted to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the farthest parts of the earth.' After he said this, while they were watching, he was lifted up and a cloud hid him from their sight. As they were still staring into the sky while he was going up, suddenly two men in white clothing stood near them, and they said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come back in the same way you saw him go into heaven.'" So Christians love to be a witness to the gospel message of salvation in Jesus by grace through faith. True Christians are to be doing the things that Jesus Christ would do if he were here physically on the earth. The church is to be Christian, which means Christ-like, Christ-following. Now, if my non-Christian listeners are still with me to this point, thank you for continuing to listen. If you feel an urge at this time to become one of us, a true believer in the love and power of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you can do this right now, without any ritual or ceremony. Faith and genuine repentance from a life of sin, living life your own way, and instead living the way God leads his followers in the Bible, is all it takes. If you make this decision today, and really take the action of faith in Jesus, write down the date today that you too have become a Christian. Now, let me pray for you. Father God, in the name of your one and only unique Son, Jesus Christ, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to touch the heart and mind of every person listening to me right now. Cause them to desire to have their sins taken away, to pray and ask to be granted repentance that leads to life by God, and to repent of their sins. Honestly, sincerely repent. To have that penalty for sin removed, so that through the faith you give them, they may believe in you, Jesus, and have eternal, never-ending life. Starting today, by having personal, saving faith in you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Our website address, www.visionforchristworld.com. Search our Facebook page as Vision for Christ World. Until the next broadcast, this is Tim Taylor, praying the great blessings of God with joy and peace upon your life as you embrace Jesus Christ in personal saving faith. I will leave you today with this text from Romans 12:10. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other.